Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, we're down to 19 days to go until we head down to Walt Disney World, checking in at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort, hitting the Disney Dream, and then wrapping it up with a couple of nights over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. I can't tell you how excited I get every time I look down at my iPhone 6. I can see how many days I have to go. Mallory and I always look through the pictures to get excited for what we're going to do when we arrive. And of course, I get my audio chime every day at 2:05, letting me know I'm one day closer to my favorite place. Check out these and other great Disney apps over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1019 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and stay tuned because we have not one but two announcements of big events happening with the Be Our Guest Podcast coming up at the end of the show. So Pam, don't forget, we're going to announce the big one that we've been working on with Jocelyn. And remind everybody of our Be Our Guest podcast meetups down there next month for Soarin's opening and the nighttime events over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park. But joining me today to answer your listener questions, that's what we do here on a Wednesday each and every time. We have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Magically Speaking e-newsletter, plus the Mouse for Less. I don't know why I brought that back up, but it's still out there and it's still awesome. What's up, Ricky?
It is. Cooling off from all the excitement from last weekend and, you know, Disney announcing everything. So we've got that. And then I'm, you know, getting ready to head down there to experience some of it. So I'm excited. It's going to be a great time this weekend for sure. And man, I'm telling you, lots of stuff going on. That's for darn sure. So it's a good time to be a fan, though.
Are your bags packed? Because you're T-minus 2 days.
T-minus 1 day. I leave tomorrow. That's so right. Yeah. I'm really excited. Yeah, Thursday through Monday. It's going to be good. So yeah, my bags are packed. We're all good to go.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And raise your hand if you were up on a Saturday morning at approximately 7 o'clock Eastern. Refresh, 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 refresh. Doing that. Pam, was that you?
It was. And it was funny because my family was there with me and they were like, after about like 15 minutes of it not working right there, like, this is really frustrating.
Yeah, and, you're like, welcome to my world.
I'm like, this is exactly what it is. And my poor agents have to deal with this so often. But anyways, in the end, it eventually did work. It took a while.
Yeah,
but it did eventually work.
Should I give my real truth of what happened? I got up at 5:55 Central to do this, and did it for about 10 or 15 minutes, and kept showing that the Frozen attraction was not available on any day. So I knew it was a system thing. It wasn't just
I said it was sold out.
Yes,
I loved that. That makes people panic. Like, can't you have a better message than that? Really?
Right.
So anyway,
if it's not available if it's not available for like 60 days all at the same time, when it's only been live for 1 minute. It's probably not sold out, just a hint there. But yeah, I was like, refresh. Finally, I have about 6:15. This is like my only day I was going to get to sleep in for a little bit until school gets out here later this week. So finally about 6 p.m., I'm like, forget it. Like, Anna and Elsa can wait. I'm going back to bed. I'm tired. And so I did. And as soon as I gave up on it, my good buddy Scott, he'll be down there at the same time, text me, got our Frozen Fast Passes. I'm like, oh, so then I had to crack the old MacBook back up because everybody else was still sleeping soundly. I'm in the bed with my glasses on, no contacts, my mobile phone in one hand, my MacBook in the other, trying to get this done. And it was successful finally. But man, those first few minutes, I mean, I do this all the time, but it's still stressful. I don't know. I just wanted those Fast Passes.
It is. And you know what? The thing that I was thinking that we always tell our guests is, if you have something that you really want to see and you can't get a fast pass for, just be there when the park opens and you'll still be able to see it. And then you'll have the rest of your day to just be like, this is awesome, all of this. So knowing that you have accomplished the one thing that you still really want to accomplish. So anyways, there's lots of good things to look forward to. I hope, you know, people got their Anna and Elsa fast passes and everything else, but it will be fine either way. Even if you didn't, it'll still all be good.
If you didn't get them, just let it go. You know?
Cut it out.
Oh, God. No Full House mentions on this show. Come on.
Too late. It already happened.
Oh, terrible. Please stay tuned into the show. We love you. All right. So, first question.
We love Full House.
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. It's painful sometimes. All right. Drew Baker, our great sponsor, has one of our first emails of the day here. Drew says, Mike and the ladies, keep up the great work on the show, and I'm thrilled to be able to financially back the show and help you guys do what you do so well. I just love playing a part. I wanted to share a couple of mini trip reports so hopefully someone can take a tip away that will help them on a future trip. I've been to Walt Disney World twice in the last 6 months and, as always, learn new things each time. In December, our whole family went, my wife and I, my kids, 8, 5, and 2, with a split stay at Boardwalk Villas and Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani. And my wife and I just returned from a 4-day anniversary trip to the Polynesian and Saratoga Springs. Some big takeaways. Number one, your recent show on the Boardwalk Inn and Villas reminded me that my recent trips cemented the following opinion. If ease of transportation is very important to you, the Boardwalk is the best resort at Walt Disney World. The 6-minute walk to Epcot and 12-minute walk to Hollywood Studios is so convenient. The week we stayed there, we didn't share buses to the Magic Kingdom either, so it was a straight shot from the resort. If you take each resort and add up their average commute time to each of the four parks to get a total for each resort, I'm confident the Boardwalk would come in first, and I actually don't think it would be very close. Also, call the clown pool crazy, but it was one of our favorite pools so far. My kids thought it was the best slide they've done yet, and the pool was small enough that my wife and I could be in one place and never have trouble seeing all of our kids. Something that can't be said for Stormalong Bay and some of the other pools. All right, so that's the first point about Boardwalk. Pam, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I've said it, you know, the clown is creepy, but the pool is really fun. And the slide was one of Hannah's favorites when she was a little kid. She loved that slide. And so I think there's just so much to love about that resort. It doesn't get as much press as like the Yacht and Beach Club, which means sometimes we can help you find a good stay there and we can help you find it there with a discount. So that's something to think about.
And shout out to Ricky for the great meme on the Facebook page about a week ago with the clown pool. That was awesome.
That sucker was so scary, let me tell you.
People were oversharing, like, oh, that thing scares me to death. I can't even go to sleep with that clown there in the pool. Anyway.
Right.
Number two, if you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I would strongly suggest trying to get a room on floors 2 or 3 and not 4 or 5. We were on the top floor, and that meant we were above the level of the treetops. So the animals had to come all the way over towards us to be able to see them. If we had been lower, we could have looked under the treetops of the trees out across the savannah to see the animals. It resulted in us seeing very few animals from our room over a 4-day stay. So my tip would be to shoot for a lower floor room for the best animal viewing. Ricky, that kind of surprised me, and that's a great tip because I'm always under the assumption that the best rooms are at the very top because, you know, you think of the penthouse and, you know, that's just kind of our mentality as Americans. That's a good tip. I never thought about that. You should write that down for the Mouse for Less.
Absolutely. Let's get an article about it. Let's go.
That's it. Right now.
That's good
right
stuff, now. Though. I wouldn't have thought of that. And no? I'm staying there next month, so I'll have to think of that. Number three, we had always traveled only with young kids, so we had skipped the movies and World Showcase at Epcot, and this was a big mistake. On our anniversary trip, we saw Reflections of China, which was good, but we were completely blown away by Impressions de France. Soarin' is my favorite ride at Walt Disney World, and in many ways, Impressions de France rivaled Soarin'. A new digital projection, beautiful scenery, and a haunting score. This will absolutely be a must-do for every trip to Epcot from here on out. Give Impressions de France a chance, no matter the age of your kids. And sitting down to relax in an air-conditioned theater is a nice break as well. All right, Ricky, are you a big Impressions fan? Do you like that one?
You know, I think I'm one of the few people who doesn't really care for that movie. So I know a lot of people really, really like it. But I just, I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
What
I know.
Do you like about this movie?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say something really non-Disney. I kind of find it boring. I'm sorry. All the hate mail I'm gonna get.
That's Ricky at BRGuestPodcast.com.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm totally gonna get all this hate mail, but I really find it boring. I'm sorry,
Disney. The music is so pretty. I could just sit there with my eyes closed, and I have been known on occasion to do that and listen to the music. Anyways, interesting.
Yeah. I'm right with you, Pam, because I think the Soarin' score, and I can't wait to hear the new one because it said it's based on the original. But the Soarin' music is right up there at the very, very top of any music. It goes with Illuminations, and those are my two favorites anywhere at Walt Disney World. But you're right. The Impressions Day Front, there's a part of it like where they hit the big house organ. It's like, you know, they play this one part, and it's just like it brings everything to life. And you're right. I mean, it's a nice. It is kind of like a 1.0 Soarin', if you consider the original Soarin' kind of a 2.0 attraction. And the seats are comfortable. It's a good place to catch some air. I got that right. Drew's on it. All right. Drew's on a roll here. Let's see what else we have. Number four, on our anniversary trip, we enjoyed several signature restaurants but kept the bill reasonable by sticking mostly to appetizers. This is a great way to experience some fantastic restaurants without breaking the bank. For instance, at California Grill, you can get the most amazing flatbreads, and they are $16 each. That's cheaper than Via Napoli and not much more expensive than a counter service in the parks. The rotisserie chicken flatbread at California Grill is the best thing I ate on our entire trip. All right, got to throw this one to Pam. Thoughts? Favorite restaurant?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've really, honestly, the food there, we always love the food there. We always have, you know, some great dishes. And I think that they brought some interesting things into the restaurant since they reopened it a couple of years ago. So I like hearing that. I mean, I think it's a great idea to do appetizers, you know, if that's what you're looking for. The great thing about a Disney restaurant is, you know, we frequently eat oddly, like either, and that means that we order creatively. I know, right? So, like, if we'll split, like, maybe a salad and an appetizer and an entree, so we'll split, like, these three things. But we do this, you know, because we realize if we both ordered, like, one of each of these things, we would be so full, but we want to try them all. And the great thing about a Disney restaurant is that no one has ever treated us differently because we weren't each ordering each of these things. Eat what you're hungry for. Some nights we are really hungry. So then Steve will be like, do you want to split this with me? And I'll be like, oh no, I do not. I will be ordering my own entree.
I'm hungry. It's not right. Happening.
But there are other nights when you know, like, hey, let's do this tonight, or like, I really want to try this, so let's get this, and this, and split all three. You know, and it's easy to do that with the appetizers and interesting salads and stuff like that. So glad you had such a good experience there.
Absolutely. And Drew's final tip, he says, if you're going resort to resort for an ADR or something and you don't have a car, Uber is a great option, especially if you don't need car seats. Most trips to resorts for dinner cost us about $7 to $8 and was well worth saving 30 to 60 minutes of bus hopping. Thanks to the BOGP team, Drew. Man, this Uber is just getting all kinds of traction down at Walt Disney World. I don't think any of us have done it yet. But I am going to do this. I'm going to, just for research purposes. And I'm still kind of nervous. I don't know why. Like, I rode a cab, and I thought that was awesome for the Tower of Terror race that one year. And the guy, like, went up on the curb and got me into Wide World of Sports, like, going against the grain. Man, it was just like being on the Amazing Race. It was incredible.
You knew he wasn't a Disney driver.
Well, no. Right. I was for real, like, it looked like a New York City taxi cab. But, I mean, Ricky is, you usually have a car, but, I mean, if you're flying down and don't have a car, I mean, I am going to try Uber. I mean, I don't have any problem with it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, I always have a car with me, so I never have the ability to Uber. But, you know, if I didn't have a car, I would absolutely consider it. Actually, I'm considering doing it a little bit when we go to Hawaii, so we'll see how that works. But, yeah, so...
And yeah, and everybody's in the chat. We always record these live on Facebook Monday evenings, usually around 6:30 Central is when we try to get going, or 6:30 Eastern, I should say. And lots of thumbs up for Uber in the chat. Scott, Ben, Jeanette, lots of folks saying cheap and thumbs up. So doesn't look like you'll get murdered if you get an Uber car. We'll have to see. I hope not. All right, next. Is anybody there? I shouldn't have said that, probably. All right, next question is from Taryn. Our great listener in Myrtle Beach says, hi, guys. Couple of questions for the show. Do unused multi-day tickets expire, or is that a new policy just for the one-day tiered pricing tickets? All right, Pam, you want to take that one?
They do absolutely expire. In fact, you know, over the last year or two, they took away the ability to purchase an option that would make the ticket good for forever. And unfortunately, that's no longer an option. So, yep, they absolutely expire.
All right.
And they expire. Sorry, I should tell you when they expire. It's not like I'm keeping it a secret.
Don't say anything about 14 days after first use. Go ahead.
It's just a surprise. You have to guess. So the tickets expire 14 days after the first use.
And you know, actually, though, that's a pretty big window. I mean, I've actually had folks that have gone on cruises kind of with a split stay. And I mean, you're fine because, you know, you can be on 14 days. That's, you know, obviously 2 weeks. And so you can have a lot of days in there, like say by 7 day tickets. You know, you could do a water park one day. You could have a resort day or two, or go on a 3 or 4 night cruise and come back and you still have your tickets. So.
Right. Did you see how fast Mike did the math there?
I'm pretty good.
14 days was 2 weeks.
I know. Hey, man.
That's awesome.
That's pretty tough that here. Was. You know, tomorrow's the last day where I have to go in for the school year. So I'm starting to kind of bounce back because I know that I'm free. I'm free like a bird here pretty soon. About 24 hours.
You're going to be doing math left and right. All summer.
Yes.
Yeah, on my hammock. That's what we're gonna do. All right. Let's see. So Taryn also says, if, and this is a little bit old email, but we'll go to it. If free dining is announced for this fall, it will be announced. We may join the stampede if the math works out for us. We have AP, so we don't need use of the tickets from the package. Can we just save them for another time? Perhaps even finding a way to not have them linked under our My Disney Experience account. I think that would work out easier, just so we don't have so many tickets showing up in the account at one time. I don't want to accidentally activate them and then have to waste time at guest services. Thanks for everything you guys do. Taryn in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. All right, Pam, so this has come up with you, I'm sure, because it's happened with me too, because you know sometimes you might have a Magic Your Way ticket on there because of a package or some other reason, but you also have an AP. So what's the best use of making sure that when you have an AP, you're pulling from the AP and not activating, like you said, because if you use that Magic Your Way ticket in 14 days, it's going to disappear. So what's up?
Right. So here's the thing. And I want to say the tickets that aren't used do not expire except for the 1 day ticket, which you all know the rule about. So I just want to say that. So we actually advise this strategy to some of our guests who have an annual pass to go ahead and buy a package with a minimum ticket required by the package, or even maybe a 4 day ticket, just because you'll be that much further into the cost of the annual pass. Don't use it, set it aside. And the next time you want to renew your annual pass, pull out that ticket and say, I'd like to use this towards my annual pass. That's a great strategy to save some money a couple times. But anyways, back to your question, which is, what was the question?
Well, she wants to keep, you know, she's thinking about doing a free dining package, but of course that comes with a minimum 2 day park hopper ticket, Magic Your Way park hopper ticket. And she has an AP, so she wants to kind of put that away, but she doesn't want to have to go to guest services and kind of out, like, did you pull from my AP or did you pull from that 2 day ticket that's associated with the package?
Thank you for the assist, Mike. I got in a roll and
that happens,
I forgot
man.
Where it was going to end up.
It's almost, it's a 3 day weekend coming up, you know, it's almost a holiday.
We're almost there.
I need some kind of excuse for this. But anyways,
right.
Yes. So, what were we talking?
You're really having a tough one here. No, let me just finish it out. Just what I would do is, because it can get confusing when they're pulling your tickets going through the touch points.
Yes. Okay,
call. Here's what I would do. Here's what I did, because this happened to me in April. As soon as I went through, I asked the cast member at the touch point to get one of the supervisors, and they came over with an iPad. And I said, can you just make sure that they pulled from my annual pass rather than my Magic Your Way ticket that's on my account? And they looked it up, and they saw it, and it was fine. I didn't have to go full on guest services. It took me like 2 minutes.
Right.
And it gave me peace of mind.
Right. If you want to, and here's what I was going to say the three times I forgot what I was going to say. If you want to, you can stop by at the resort concierge or even at one of the guest services in the park or right outside the park and ask them to prioritize one of your tickets. They do have the ability to do that. And just do it at a time when, you know, you see that the line's not quite so long, and then it won't take any time at all.
That's good. All right, Byron in the Facebook live chat is asking about the new FastPass Plus booking time, and that is now 7 a.m. Eastern. It did change last week, so we'll throw that out there for everybody so that if you haven't heard that yet or caught that online, it was midnight Eastern, and, you know, to make it a little bit, which I didn't mind because it's 11 o'clock in the evening Central. That's not too bad because, you know, you do it before you go to bed. But now, I guess, to make everybody get up early and be miserable, they moved it to 7 o'clock Eastern. So good luck, folks, on the West Coast getting those fast passes. Just so you know. All right, next email comes from Matt. He's in Webster, New York. He says, hi, Mike and the ladies. I'm a former CP, so college program, and I can't get enough Disney in my life. My walls are covered in photos of the world. I listen to about a dozen Disney podcasts a week. Yours is my favorite, of course. People at my work even call my office Disney World. I have a few friends who share my passion, and we have talked about doing a Disney dinner. We would each like to take a few items and make them from scratch from various recipes found on Disney food websites and come together with park music in the background, share stories, and end with viewings of wishes and illuminations. I mean, they're really doing it right. If they're going to have like a real fireworks show, like wishes in their backyard, that's pretty sweet.
Right? Hello, I'm coming.
Yeah, I know. That's up.
Where's our invite?
That's it. I'm at Webster, New York, man. We're there. Okay. It has come to this. I can't decide on a main course. Here is what I have so far. So here's what he has so far. His cocktail is the Kungaloosh from Trader Sam's.
There you go.
Do we got a check there? Check, check.
Check.
All right. Check. Or hors d'oeuvres. Good dates from Jacques Lindsay's and BLT flatbread from the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Nice.
Do we get a little check, check? Check? Except those are the good dates you try to feed me that are poison, Pam. I think those are the same ones.
You seem to be no worse for the wear, so I think.
I don't know, man. I can remember my answers a little bit better than you. Maybe you ate one of the poison ones. I don't know.
Ow, that was rude.
Or maybe you've already had a couple of Kungalooshes from Trader Sam.
Maybe that's the case.
That's
yeah.
What I was going to say. I should stop having the Kungaloosh before we record.
We're having too much fun. All right, for his soup, he has Canadian cheddar cheese, bacon, and beer soup from Canada. That would be in Le Cellier. I give a little check to that.
Yeah, right. Check.
Dinner, a bunch of question marks. So we'll come back to that. Dessert, Napoleons and macaroons from France and Dole Whips from Adventureland. And his wine is the Forbidden Rose from Be Our Guest. I can't figure out what to make for dinner. I know Mike will say something from Las Fuentes. So Pam and Ricky, what do you suggest? I know the fajitas Mexicanas. I'm just saying. I hope that this will turn into a once-a-year tradition, changing up the food, but not the formula or the friends. Matt, again, in Webster, New York. I love this idea, Matt. This is a great way to bring Disney into your home, and that's a great way to do that when it's a long stretch between trips. And I'll tell you about a story of what I did Saturday night with some dear friends from church. But let's answer his question. So he's got me. This menu is just awesome right now, but you got to have the main course, the dinner. Pam, what could you possibly think of to do?
So I'm thinking really as, you know, some people think that cooking a steak is difficult. We cook them all the time. And so I think that most people who cook know how to cook a good steak. And there's a couple good ones from Disney that come to mind. And one is the teriyaki steak from Kona Cafe. That would be a relatively easy one to cook because you can make the marinade ahead of time, you know, do all of that. And then the other one is the coffee rub steak that they used to have at Le Cellier. And you can look up the recipes for both of these online, and I'm sure you'll find something that's very close, if not the exact recipe. But again, I think that those would be really easy to do and something that would be really memorable.
All right, Ricky, you're up. You're the Swedish chef. What are you making for the main course?
So I am on this huge kick for butter chicken, which is from Sanaa. I found that my local Kroger sells, like, obviously it's not the same, but they sell butter chicken like sauce. And so I just cut up chicken and add it to the sauce and make some rice, and it's super easy. So that's something, or I'm totally going to plug, the Mouse for Less. We have recipes. So all you have to do is search Disney recipe and you'll find it. Gina Murray actually made, the recipe for the Disney Cruise Line. So it's a little different, but it's still Disney. Their orange cilantro flank steak, which sounds pretty delicious, but we have lots of recipes over there too. So if you are looking for a good, you know, dinner type recipe, you can always check there too. or, you know, make delicious butter chicken. But that's beside the point.
And I've caught one of our listeners that's in the Facebook live chat right now because she's breaking my heart. Jeanette, chicken and waffles is not at Sleepy Hollow anymore. So you're tearing my heart out by mentioning them. No, but that'd be a cool thing to have. Chicken and waffles, cool. Never a bad decision. Amanda Hughes in the chat actually has the one I was thinking of because I think it's simple enough, but it's definitely a signature item. 50s prime time, do the sampler. Do a little pot roast chicken and meatloaf choice. Right there. You know, and some green
meatloaf.
Beans.
Yeah. Ma, the meatloaf!
Oh, so good. But anyway, I'm going to say, so what we did something like this with our group from church. About 10 of us got together on Saturday night, and we had a Disney party, kind of talked about our Disney members. Now, these friends of mine that go to church, we'd never been to their house before. Their house has Disney World stuff everywhere. Like in the bathroom, there's the wallpaper from the Haunted Mansion on one of the walls. Okay, so
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
They have a thing in the kitchen, a poster. It's the cupcakes of Walt Disney World. So like from all these specialty cupcakes. Just Disney touches everywhere. As you come in, it says it has the sign from the Haunted Mansion with a wait time. It says wait time 0 minutes. Awesome. But, so we talked Disney, but the thing about this party was everybody brought their favorite Walt Disney World dessert to the party. So we brought the ingredients. We made No Way Jose's for everybody. So everybody had those. Another couple brought. And we made peanut butter and jelly milkshakes from 50s Primetime. Score. Those were so good. We had like Mickey Oreos. We had cupcakes. We had Dole Whip. Kind of a simulation of it as close as you can get in Missouri.
Right.
But it was a really neat idea, and it wasn't a lot of effort. And I think that's kind of a good suggestion also. I mean, this is a full-blown thing that Matt's doing. I love this. But if you want to do it on a lighter scale, just to get together with some Disney friends, we had a fun night, and, you know, it did. I mean, it really kind of brought back the memories because you can find these recipes online pretty simply, and it was a good time. So give it a shot. All right, let's get to the next question. It comes from Stephanie, who is in Boston. Hi, BOGP crew. My question is, how difficult is it to score a New Year's Eve dining reservation? My husband and I were spending Christmas and New Year's in Walt Disney World and are trying to plan everything out. What is the very first day to book, and is it at midnight or 7 a.m. you should call? Thanks so much. Love listening to the show. Stephanie. All right, so Pam, she needs to know, how hard is it to get a dining reservation on New Year's Eve at Lotus Blossom? No, what is it? what's the China one? That's pretty easy still.
Oh, probably. Nine Dragons?
Nine Dragons. There you go.
She wanted Nine Dragons?
No, I'm just making that up because, you know, she's probably.
Oh, I was confused. Sorry. You got me all like, kinds of... I was like, that's pretty easy, but whatever.
you'll be golden with that one.
Well, you're set. I mean, that's your backup plan. Just remember, Nine Dragons backup plan.
Yeah. No, if you're trying the morning of, you'll be fine for most, just about all restaurants, except for, of course, the ones that are always challenging, which is Be Our Guest. Ohana can get a little challenging, things like that. But if you're trying that morning, you can make reservations 180 days in advance of your reservation. If you're staying on site, you get a little bit of a head start. You can make them 180 days in advance of the day that you arrive for your reservation, as long as you aren't staying more than 10 days. So that's something to think about there too. And you should be fine. Reservations actually open up in the morning. The phone lines open at 7. They typically are available online earlier than that, let's say around 6. I want to say typically because, hello, you heard the beginning of the show, right? Yeah, where there were some issues with some fast passes. It happens in the dining stuff too sometimes. So just typically, but yeah, you should be fine. You really should. We make reservations for New Year's Eve actually probably only a couple of months in advance, and we usually can still eat when we want to, so.
And I looked it up for Stephanie. Your 180-day window will open up on the 4th of July. So there you go.
Oh, well.
So happy happy Independence Day
to you. Yeah, happy 4th of July. Enjoy making dining reservations.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I get to sleep in. It's 4th. No, you don't, because you have to make dining reservations. You always got to be ready for the next holiday. You know, you're always looking forward. All right, let's get to the last question of the day because we have a couple of big announcements coming your way after this one. So it comes from Deanna. She's in Maryland. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. It looks like my husband and I are headed to Disneyland without the kids. My husband is going to a convention at the Anaheim Convention Center, and I'm tagging along and spending time at Disneyland. This will be my husband's first time at Disneyland, and I haven't been since 2003. He will have one free night to spend in the parks with me, and we're trying to decide which nighttime entertainment to see. He isn't the biggest Disney fan. He's a bit of a fixer-upper, but has always enjoyed Wishes. So he is thinking he will enjoy the Disneyland fireworks more, plus he would get to see the Paint the Night parade. However, I'm leaning towards World of Color since it's completely different from what we've seen at Walt Disney World, and I think he'd enjoy California Adventure. I'll have two other nights to see nighttime entertainment while he's at the convention, so trying to cater more to what he would enjoy on the one night he is free. What nighttime entertainment would you pick for someone who isn't necessarily the biggest Disney fan? Paint the Night Parade and Disneyland Forever Fireworks or World of Color? Thanks, Deanna. Tough question, but not a wrong answer in the bunch. Pam, what would you suggest?
Oh, man, this is tough. I see both of them because I think World of Color is more technologically interesting, although Paint the Night is really interesting, too. And I love the fireworks at Disneyland, but I think part of that is because I have such a nostalgia for that park. It just really touches my heart in so many ways. So I'm really going to be of absolutely zero help on this issue. Sorry, I'm done.
Well, that's great. I will say again, it does help that we record these with a live audience now on Facebook, and we appreciate that those people who can drop in there. Again, Mondays, usually around 6:30 Eastern. Paint the Night's kind of winning the chat right now because it's such a unique experience. So they're saying that's because you get the fireworks and the Paint the Night, but I totally understand what Deanna's saying about something being totally different in World of Color. Ricky, what say you? Because you have an opinion on this. You have to.
I do. Although I haven't seen Paint the Night or the fireworks show at Disneyland, I think that's probably going to win out for me. However, I will say that you do have to watch out because they sometimes do cancel the fireworks because of wind. So that's something that you have to watch out for as well. So you're almost guaranteed to see, you know, World of Color. But, you know, the fireworks are not a hit or miss sometimes. So just keep that in mind.
All right. Well, we appreciate everybody sending in those questions. Keep them coming. You guys are just hitting it out of the park over the last few weeks with these questions. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get those in the queue and get those here on the show right away. Now, before we get out of here today, let's get on with your Wednesday. We need to remind you, we like to get together as a podcast community, as a podcast family. We love seeing our listeners. Just today, I got a message from listener Kelsey, who just, we love her. We got to see her at Trader Sam's with her family last summer, and just a great time. She's going to be coming to the meet down here this summer, next month. So we're getting together for that. So Pam, can you remind us what we're doing there? We're going to put this on the Facebook page today so everybody can kind of see it and make plans and get that going. So Pam, what about the Awaken Summer Be Our Guest podcast events?
I know, we're crazy, right? But like this summer, there are so many spectacular things happening. We just didn't want to miss any of them. So what we're doing is on June 18th, which is the day after Soarin' opens, and it will be, you know, a time when we can see all the new nighttime stuff at Animal Kingdom too. On Saturday, June 18th, we're all getting together and we're going to ride Soarin' together. So we're going to be outside the entrance of Epcot when it opens. Then we'll go to Soarin', ride it all together. Thankfully, we can all wait in line together and stuff like that. And then we're going to be having breakfast together at Sunshine Seasons and doing a little recording there so we can get people's impression of that. Then later on that evening, we're going to go ahead and experience some of the nighttime activities at Animal Kingdom together too. We have the tree awakening and the nighttime safari and the Jungle Book show. So there's just so many things that we all wanted to make sure that we were going to see that we're saying, here's an excuse to come down if you were looking for one. And I know there's a few of you out there who were looking for one. So here it is, your excuse to come down.
That's it. You have 30 days. Get it done. Get some airline tickets. Gas up the car. The Great American Road Trip awaits. You know, Anna and Elsa, they need to see you. I mean, they're saying, you know, come and see us. Don't let go. Come and see us. So, yeah, we hope to see you down there. No signups needed, nothing like that. You'll find us. We're pretty easy to spot. So we'll have a good time there with Soarin and the nighttime activities at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park on June 18th. Hope you can join us. But now, that's not just all we're doing here. We're doing another event, and this one is a big one. People have been asking about this actually literally for years. And Jocelyn, one of our great running lizards, really kind of like, I look at her as kind of like the co-captain with Mike Bankhead. She's a logistical genius when it comes to putting things together. She's put a lot of hard work into this event. a lot more than I have, I can tell you that. And she's really, really done something great for us. So, Pam, what are we doing in November, the Wine and Dine Race Weekend?
So, it's funny. Jocelyn is also a new agent at the Magic for Less, and I think she won her brownie points with this one.
I think so, too, yes.
It's like trial by fire. But anyways, she helped us arrange a dessert party over Wine and Dine Weekend. And so it's a really, really cool thing because we're not doing it in some of the traditional locations that you may have done or experienced stuff before. We're actually doing it at the Contemporary at the Portico Share, which is like a fancy word for the covered area that's there, so that we'll be able to see Wishes from that location, have some desserts, and then there will be a cash bar available too. There'll be some drinks and stuff like that available with the package. But there's just some really cool things going on, and we really wanted to have an opportunity to get together. The desserts include mini croissant donuts, Disney character themed cupcakes, Mickey ice cream bars, baklava from Morocco, pistachio cannoli from Italy. There'll be lemonade, coffee, and tea. And then, like I said, again, there'll be a cash bar for those who are looking for something more. So I think that this will be a really cool event. It'll give us all a chance to get together. And the date that we're doing it is November 4th. That will take place from 7:30 p.m. till 9 p.m. And sales are on, they're on sale right now. It'll be $50 per person. And we will make sure that we put the link up here and in the Lizards group so that everyone can see it. And we really hope that you'll make plans to join us.
Yeah, like I said, Jocelyn's worked really hard on this one. We've been, looking for a unique venue, and this is certainly, I've seen the pictures. It's a beautiful venue. It's a unique venue that, not everybody's been to. I've never been to it. What's that called again, Pam? What's the name for it, that fancy name?
The Portico Share.
Okay, because that's what I'm going to start calling my carport here at the house, because it's a covered car. There it is. Portico Share. That's what I'm parking my Jeep under, the Portico Share.
I'm pulling under the Portico Share. That's right it. Now, I mean, as we speak.
My house value just went up by 10 grand at least, by
there
the saying.
There you go,
that.
At least.
But so we hope you can join us. It is a great opportunity for the Lizards. And you don't have to be a Lizard, just a listener to the podcast. Get together with us. I mean, we have this great venue. It's not just for runners, walkers, cheers. It's for anybody who listens to the show, have some great desserts, watch Wishes, take a lot of pictures. Of course, we'll be recording bits for the podcast and just having a great time getting together, because that's what this is truly all about for us. And we just hope you'll join us for that. So tickets are on sale now. Get them as soon as you can. We're going to have plenty of space for everybody. We've got a big venue. But, the sooner we can get that, the better off, so we can kind of get a head count going on. But hope you can join us for that dessert party again. Huge thanks to Jocelyn. We don't tell you enough. You do a ton for us, so thank you for that. All right, so I think that's about all of our announcements. Oh, one other announcement. You got to tune in on Friday. Mr. Len Testa joins us. So we have a special guest for – we've been having some really great guests on Fridays. If you've noticed, Seth Kaberski from the Unofficial Guide to Universal Studios Florida. Then we had Dr. Jeff Barnes. And thank you for the great feedback on that show. So many people said they were inspired by Jeff's story, and I truly was. I was touched by it, so thank you for that. And also thank you again to everybody for the nice, kind words towards Mallory when she did that little bonus episode. She got the biggest kick out of being able to be on the show. And then when she saw your messages on social media, she thinks she's like Taylor Swift now. So first person that comes up to her this summer and asks for her autograph, I'll buy you a Coke or something, or a dessert. Just telling you, she'll drop dead. But great time today. Hopefully you had fun. It's been a good time recording this podcast. And brought to you, as always, it's a Wednesday, virtualmickey.com. Drop by, download Theme Park News Disney Edition. Keep track of everything that is going on down at Walt Disney World and with the Disney Company as a whole, both official and unofficial sources. But man, could there be anything else that they could have announced over the last week? It was a nut house. I mean, Ricky, do you still have fingers, or like you down to like your knuckle? Like you're like down to nubs?
Seriously, I'm down to nubs right now. I can't even tell you. It's insane how much I wrote. It was just nuts.
You're like a Magic for Less travel agent during free dining morning, man.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's how I felt. And I was like, no, slow down. I can't do it all at once.
Yeah, it's like you haven't said anything for 6 months and now you're putting it all out in 10 minutes. What's going on?
Right, exactly. Come on, stop it.
All right, so check out Theme Park News Disney Edition. Keep up with your favorite place and support our awesome sponsors. We have the best sponsors. I thank them so much for letting us do what we do. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. I don't know what happened to the Facebook. I'm all of a sudden I'm dark and I'm look like the lights are out, but the lights are literally on here. I hope my phone didn't just conk out. Anyway, so let's get back to give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Come on over there because that's where we keep the conversation going every day, all day. Lots of conversations. And for all the information about the meets, right there, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you don't mind, give us a rating and a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That goes a long way to helping us spread the word about the show. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. We'll be back together again on Friday with Mr. Len Testa from the Unofficial Guides to Walt Disney World. We'll be talking about the listener surveys, which is always a good time, seeing what people had to say about the Disney experiences down during 2016. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.